I'm so glad tonight for that. Don't you appreciate the presence of the Lord that we've just felt just in our services today? And it's just been wonderful. I sure appreciate it. And I was texting back and forth with Brother Gabber just a little bit and telling him about the services. And I could tell that it made his heart good to know that the Spirit of God was here and that we were having church. Amen. And that's what the pastor wants to hear. And so he was glad of that. And to still be in prayer for him. Like I said, he'll be preaching Tuesday night. And if you have anything to pray about, be praying for me because I'm preaching tonight. And that's a lot sooner than Tuesday. So you can start fasting right now. It'd be good. And I'll tell you what, I appreciate the Lord giving me such a wonderful wife that gave me good advice. Some people like it better the shorter that it is. So we'll, I'll just stick with that. But if you would, you can turn with me in the book of John, chapter 10. Book of John, chapter 10. We're going to start reading with verse 1. You can stand for the reading of the Word of God tonight. I'm going to read down through verse 15. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." All right, let's just stretch your hands this way and ask the Lord to be with us tonight. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity that we have to be in your house again. We're asking, Lord, that you just move by the power of the Holy Ghost, that your word would go forth. Lord, that it would pierce our hearts and we could leave chains and hearts and lives would be touched. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And everybody said, amen. As I begin to read this portion of Scripture, I just begin to, some things just go over in my mind, and I thought, you know, if I was to mention something to you tonight, if I was to ask you about a place called Italy, and they're fixing, some people are fixing to go on a trip, I'm trying not to be bitter about that, but they're going, you know, if I said Italy, there would be some things that would come to your mind, and maybe you could talk a little about the things that are there, or if I said Hawaii. That's, you know, a little bit closer to home, and talk about beaches and things like that. Or if we could go through a list. If I said Elkton or Harrisonburg right now, you might think water because we've been off so much rain and things like that going on. But those things, if I mention it to you, would draw a picture in your mind. But kind of like we were mentioning a little bit this morning, it would be a little bit difficult if you'd never been to that country. It would be a little bit difficult for me to really try to paint a picture to you, for you to get it in your mind. Finds out exactly what it looks like. And that's the here really with John chapter 10. This scene that Jesus is talking about, it's familiar here in this century in Palestine. Probably one writer said if they minted coins, at least one coin would probably have had a shepherd with his sheep. And so they knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. But you and I'd say probably have never seen a real shepherd with his sheep. Not in the sense of the Bible times. a real shepherd, but for them, it was commonplace. A shepherd was not, it wasn't a glamorous job. Not to get off on a rabbit trail here, but I was thinking, you know, it was somebody that had to really work hard. I had a cousin one time that said the Lord didn't call him to work, he called him to sing. I don't think he'd have made a good shepherd, Brother Boy. Bless his heart. But a shepherd was somebody that toiled and that worked hard, had weathered skin, and no doubt probably dirty with the work of the day, a man of the field, amen, but with his sheep, the most familiar scene probably known at this time in Judea, this plot of ground just 35 miles long and 17 miles wide, the shepherd and his sheep, it was a welcome and familiar sight. They knew exactly what Jesus was speaking of here. It was as familiar as the mountains are to us. We go out and we maybe take it for granted that they're there every time I step outside. Maybe it's because I'm not from here, but when I step outside and I see those mountains, man, it just does something to my heart and thinking about just how wonderful it is. But the shepherd and the sheep, it was a common thing, and they probably didn't get a passing glance from a Roman soldier. Nobody paid attention to the shepherd. Nobody cared about them. They probably didn't. No one really paid much attention to them. But we see that Jesus is likening himself to the shepherd, and he starts it with, "Verily, verily." Which means, listen up, I'm about to say something. That's how I am sometimes in choir practice. Listen up. He said, I've got something important that I need to tell you. And so he begins to talk to them and describe this familiar scene. But it seems like if you read the passage here, even though it was so familiar to them, like almost they were confused, what was so great, it wasn't that they didn't understand the concept of the shepherd and the sheep. What they didn't understand was the importance or the significance of what Jesus was trying to say. What's so great about a shepherd and a sheep? What was it like to live in that century in Judea? If you were a shepherd, you raised sheep and you kept your sheep. They didn't kill them, you know, like maybe they do in other places and other times. But they raised the sheep for fleece. And they were shorn on a regular basis. And they had heavy coats of wool. And this was the purpose, the reason that they raised the sheep. A shepherd was with his sheep for many, many years. And so long in verse 3 that we just read, it says that he knew the sheep by name. He literally had a name for every single sheep of his flock. I can remember when I was a kid, you know, you might not think so, but I grew up in the country, and I had goats and chickens and rabbits, and I even had a horse and all kind of things, cats and dogs and two pet possums. I'll tell you about that later. Sometime you ask me, I can tell you about it. All kinds of animals and things that we had growing up. I never had a sheep, but there were times I'd wanted to name the animal. My grandpa, he had a grape vineyard, like I mentioned earlier, and he was trying to catch possum, and he was trying to catch fox and different things that would come to like to eat grapes. And he was wanting to kill them, and I was wanting to name them. And he said, don't name it because we're not keeping it. But the shepherd here, he knew every sheep by name. I thought this was fascinating. One writer, he described how the shepherd could make just a little noise with his throat, and the sheep would know and recognize the sound of his own shepherd. And he went on to say, and I read a little bit about this, he said that he was in a place and these shepherds came. One shepherd came with his flock down to the water, and they were drinking. And then all of a sudden another shepherd came down and they were drinking. And then a third shepherd came and they began to drink. And he thought, oh my goodness, they're in a mess now. What in the world are they going to do? All these sheep are mixed up. There's no way they'll ever be able to decipher who belongs to who. He said all of a sudden those shepherds began to make a little sound with their voice. And as they began to walk away, and the sheep would jump up and run toward the shepherd. He said nobody had to do anything but just make that little sound with their voice, and the sheep, they knew who they belonged to. I wonder tonight, do you recognize the sound of your shepherd's voice? Hallelujah. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself here. But they didn't get intermingled. They just called, and those sheep came right to their shepherd. Amen. If they didn't get back by nightfall, the writer went on to say they needed a place to go to. So the shepherd, he looked for somewhere that would be safe to keep them. He said he might choose a cave or choose an area where one side maybe had a cliff where they couldn't go anywhere, and then trees and shrubbery on this side. And then the shepherd would lay down, and he would become the door, the living door, for his flock. he would become the door. This was so familiar to the Judeans and the Palestinians that when Jesus began to talk about it in this chapter, they wondered, why are you telling this? We know all about it. But he began to break it down. And in verse 1, let's read it again. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." That's true. The only one that was allowed entrance was the shepherd. Anybody else that tried to get in was somebody that did not belong there. And then he went on to say, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." Now, this doesn't mean they didn't understand the picture that Jesus was trying to paint, but they didn't understand the significance of it. But he begins to really break it down and talks about other people that would try to come in. And at that time in history, other people would rise up and say that they were Jesus. And even though maybe it doesn't seem like it's as common today, but there have been times even in my lifespan that I remember hearing news reports of people that would get up and say they were Jesus Christ or they were his representative on earth. I taught cults and religions at one time at the Bible school, and there are so many people that are caught up by these false gods and these false Christs and people claiming to be the Messiah. But friend, let me tell you, there is only one Jesus. Hallelujah. And he came down to this earth and he lived a perfect sinless life. He was the only begotten Son of the Father. Amen. And never has there been another man like Jesus. Hallelujah. I told you, I think of songs and it says, "Never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like Jesus. Never been a man like Jesus. Hear all my burdens all away." And I'm not going to sing the whole thing. There's a bunch of verses, but I love the part that says they put him in the tomb, but the tomb couldn't hold him. Never been a man like Jesus. He's the only one that can enter in. Amen. Access only comes through him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he talks about, I'm not going to reread all these verses, but he talks about living, giving. He came to give life and to give it more abundantly. Now, in our Western culture, if you talked about living life more abundantly, people begin to think about prosperity or financial success. You know, a fat wallet, a good job, a good bank account, financial security. And they read things into Jesus' comments that he never meant and never said. But what he meant is, when you come to me, you will receive things that could never be purchased. Money could buy a bed, but you can't buy sleep. Money could buy books, but it can't buy brains. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Maybe gift to some people, you know. I should have edited that, shouldn't I? Money can buy a house, but it can't make a home. It can buy a crucifix, but it could never buy a savior. It could buy a church building, but it can't buy heaven. Abundant life includes peace and purpose and destiny. The real purpose for our living. The joy of facing the grave without fear. Hallelujah. We don't have to be afraid. The world doesn't understand why. You know, I remember it just as a young man and the struggles that I had with sickness. And I will have to be honest, it scared me. It did. Being 15 or 16 years old, and they, you know, say that's it. But somewhere along the way, things changed. I'm not even sure when. But I can remember them coming in and saying, "We don't know what we're going to do." And I, a lot of it I don't even remember, but Dad said he came in, and I started singing, "I'm homesick for heaven. I'm ready to go." I was so excited. He got a little aggravated. He said, "Not today, you're not." Maybe quit singing. But there was an excitement, because death is not the end. We don't face the grave with fear. And we have the possibility of handling our afflictions with confidence and assurance. Not that Jesus or God is some type of Santa Claus who's going to grant our every wish, but that he's got our best interest at heart and that he's working all things together for the good of them that love God. Do you believe that tonight? That the shepherd has your best interest at heart? that he's working it out in your favor. I can remember a time in my life when it felt like everything was crumbling around me, and I'd heard this gospel singer. She'd sing this song that I love, and at the end of it, she'd start going, "He's working it out in your favor. He's working it out in your favor." And then it was a bad trial. It went on for over a year, and every morning I would wake up, I could hear that voice. "He's working it out in your favor. He's working it out in your favor." And tonight I want to tell somebody that the shepherd is working it out in your favor. Amen. He knows your name. They respond to his voice because he's the good shepherd, the good one, the faithful one, the kind of shepherd that cares for and loves and knows his sheep. That's why he said he gave his life for his sheep. He lays it down. Notice how many times he says it in verse 11. He says he giveth his life for his sheep. In verse 15, again, it says, "I lay my life down for the sheep." In verse 17, again, he tells us, I lay down my life and for the sheep. In verse 18, he says it twice. He says, "But I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again." It's just not some busy observation, but Jesus is emphasizing that he is good because he voluntarily laid himself down. He hung on the cross as the substitute for the sinner. Amen. He bore our griefs and carried our sins. In our place, he died. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll overlook that voluntary aspect that makes it so beautiful. I'm guilty of that. It was voluntary. God the Father wasn't up in heaven saying, "Jesus, I know you don't want to, but you've got to go do this." He said, "I lay it down." He gladly. You know, I don't understand that. I don't have children, but I was a child. And I have experienced the kind of love that is between a parent and a child. My mother sacrificed everything to make sure that we not only had food on the table and clothes on our backs, but that we went to the house of God. And she laid her life aside. When I got so sick, she was in college making straight A's on Dean's List. Brother Gene, she had to drop out because her boy was sick. She laid her life aside. And how much a greater sacrifice. I know this is nothing that we don't know, but this is just what's on my heart. You just have to bear with me. He laid his self aside and took our place. He died. He wasn't assassinated. He wasn't murdered. Really, in the technical sense of the word, he was not even killed, but he gave himself. The very last phrase of the text in the Gospels as Jesus is on the cross says he yielded up the ghost. It was not snatched from him. How wrong to think he could not escape or that the plot against him was such that he could not free himself. No, that was not the case. It was none of those things but love that kept him on the cross. He knew, amen, he voluntarily laid his life down. I think about when Peter the ear off of that officer. One writer said the helmet of a Roman soldier covered the whole head, and no doubt Peter went for the scalp, but when he hit the top and the sword slipped down and he cut off his ear, he said, and he looked at him and said, "Peter, what are you doing?" He said, "Right now I could call 12 legions of angels." Now I've heard a bunch of different preachers in my lifespan say what a legion is. As far as I can tell, what I've looked up, most commentators said it's about 6,000. Anyway, we know it. So if that was the case, over 70,000 angels. He could have called, and any just one of them would have done the job. But he voluntarily, because he is the shepherd. Pilate was confused. He told Jesus, "Don't you realize that I have the power of life and death? I could release you or I could crucify you." And Jesus said, "You have no power except that comes from above." No doubt Pilate must have shivered at the thought, "What is this man? What is he talking about?" But Jesus, he wasn't a victim. He laid his life down on the line for us. I told you I'd try not to get ahead of myself. Something else I meant to mention earlier, when those shepherds, If I said this, just pretend you didn't hear it. I don't think I did. Those shepherds, they had a communal place where they would bring the sheep. Did I tell you that? Thank you, Brother Troy. They had a communal place where they would keep the sheep. And they, different shepherds, they'd all bring their flock to the same place. And there was a doorkeeper. And he'd lay down and he'd protect those sheep. And then the next morning, the only people that were allowed back in to retrieve those sheep were the shepherds. That's a type of the Holy Ghost, the doorkeeper, providing an interest, wooing us. Aren't you so glad for, this morning, I was so thankful for the Spirit of God and the wooing and the Holy Ghost power and the conviction. And, you know, people may look around and say, well, you didn't really see the results, but you'll never know. You'll never know what was accomplished. I tell you, the Spirit of God can accomplish more in 1 second than we could do with hours of preaching or hours of singing or anything else that we do. But to come into the presence, the Holy Ghost providing an entrance, and there always be people, there always be false prophets. We talked a little bit about that this morning in Brother Phil's class and talked about heresy and different ones of people with false doctrines and those types of things. There'll always be those people, but because, amen, that just lets me know if there's a fake, there's a genuine. And Jesus came in the flesh. Amen. And blood, and gave himself in perfect obedience to the Father for his sheep on the cross. Amen. He is the good shepherd. There are those, they didn't believe that he was qualified, but he was good. He's the only one who ever was or ever will be, the only person who ever lived a sinless life. Amen. He kept and fulfilled the commandments perfectly. Amen. If you call on the name of Jesus, you will be forgiven. Hallelujah. It's only through him that we can lay claim to any type of goodness. Amen. So he's good. That's one qualification. He protects. Amen. He talks about giving eternal life so that we never perish and that no one can pluck us from his hand. Amen. When we place ourselves under the care of Jesus, our life is safe and secure with him. Doesn't mean we're not going to have heartache and trouble and tribulation and those types of things. It doesn't even mean that we can't walk away ourselves. Amen. But if we'll walk in his way and we'll be sensitive to the shepherd's voice, amen, and walk in his path, amen, nothing can take us from his hand. No circumstance. You know, as a kid, I didn't understand that. I remember thinking, what if the devil does something and I'm not saved anymore? You know, the devil can't do anything to steal your salvation. You can be tempted and still be saved. You can be sick and still be saved. You can go through heartache, pain, still make it to heaven. He protects. He guides. The psalmist said he restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. He shows us there's a better way to live. Amen. He nurtures us and he tends the flock and he gathers his lambs in his arms. Amen. He provides exactly what we need for our growth. He lays down his life for us. He is the good shepherd. He left heaven in all of its splendor. Amen. And now he is interceding on our behalf so that we can enter a relationship with God. I mean, why did Jesus describe himself as the good shepherd? Why did he describe himself in this way? Because the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, I'm fixing to give you a point here is really deep. You might want to write it down. Why do unbelievers reject Jesus? Because they're unbelievers. They don't understand. They don't comprehend. I've told my Sunday school class about being on the job, and just I was working at Massanutten at the time, checking people in, giving them the room keys and all the stuff. And this boy that I was working with, just a young teenage guy, looked at me and said, "Do you have the Holy Ghost?" We'd never talked about God. We never talked about Jesus. We never talked about salvation. We never talked about church. He just out of the blue said, "Do you have the Holy Ghost?" And he wasn't a Christian. I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "You speak in tongues?" You know, it really makes you, you know, weird. I said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "What's that like?" And I didn't say it, but I was thinking, well, at least we didn't start with a hard question, you know. And so I began to try to explain and give him a little bit about my experience with God and what it feels like to be moved on by the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost. But people, they reject Christ, and often there are people that are hungry. He was seeking and he was searching, but if you ever come in contact with people that they just reject him, they don't want any more information. They've got more than they can probably handle already. The problem is not a lack of information, but it's just a rejection. And when they know what they ought to do, but they're not living it, Brother Gene, like you mentioned a while ago, they know how it ought to be. And that's what these men were doing. Amen. He talks about other sheep, not of this fold. Who was he speaking about? There were the Jews who were the chosen people, and some had given their hearts to Christ, but there were others, and talks about how they will become one flock. That's you and I. We're part of the Gentiles. I'll tell you, a lot of this was covered this morning in Sunday school and even when Brother Jeremy was preaching, but this is what I had. But we, aren't you so glad that we've been grafted in into the family, and that the shepherd, amen, took us into his flock, even though we were so unworthy and so undeserving. Amen. He prepared a place for you and for me. Amen. That should bring us comfort that before the foundation of the world was ever laid, the good shepherd had us in mind. Amen. When he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Amen. He prepared something for us that ought to bring you comfort. Amen. If you're one of his sheep, now if you're a goat, maybe not so much. But the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. We're in a dangerous situation here because I don't know how long I've been up here. I won't tell you how many pages of notes, but you'd be scared. But I want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And what are some characteristics of sheep? And I had some things to share with you, and I have to tell you that while I was studying, I came across a lot more information about sheep, and to be honest, it was not flattering. Do it if you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you, most of you probably do, but if you don't, Google sheep. They're not smart. There's a lot of things that were said that was not very complimentary. They're dirty. Oftentimes, the shepherd, and I know you've heard it preached on so many times, may have to break a leg or break a limb to keep them from doing things that brings them harm. I mean, just the likenesses go on and on and on and on and on. But there are some things here, the sheep, some things that I did find, they are sensitive because, like I've mentioned, they hear his voice and they know what he's saying. If you're not hearing the voice of God and he's not giving you direction, then it might be possible you're not a sheep. If God, you know, and I know, you know, we got one extreme to the other. You got people that God is speaking to them every 2 seconds. And I also question that. But if you are one of his, are you being sensitive to the sound of his voice? I tell you, you never know. There's been so many times. You ever been in a service and you feel like God is speaking to your heart? And I've heard you say it when you testified. I didn't want to say anything, but I feel like my heart's beating out of my chest, you know, that kind of thing. You've been in service and God's spoken to you and told you you ought to do so and so and think, Lord, that don't make any sense. But when you stepped out in faith and you did what the Lord, when you listened to the voice of the shepherd, amen, hindsight was 20/20, and you look back and thought, oh, that's why you told me to do that, Lord. I can remember a time when I was just a teenager, and I had left the sanctuary and came back in. We were having church, and there was a lady that was down praying at her pew. They were in the middle of altar call, and you know how we do. I mean, here, most of the time, the ladies on this side and the men on this side, and sometimes families might pray together, and that's good, but for the most part, it's kind of separated, you know. And so I just, as a young, however old I was, 17-year-old boy, I didn't make it a habit of going down and kneeling down in benches with, you know, ladies. But I felt like the Lord was dealing with my heart. You need to go pray with her. And I thought, Lord, this might sound bad. Can I pray, you know, from a distance? Can I pray for her? The Lord said, no, I want you to go to her pew and pray for her. So, okay. So walked over to that pew. I didn't know what else to do. I just knelt down beside her. And her name, a lady that I grew up knowing my whole life, Sister Jane, I said, sis, I got to pray for you. And when she looked up and saw it was me, her eyes got real big and she began to tear up. And she lived a very troubled life and her family just in disarray. And she said, Kevin, I had given up hope this morning. She said, and I've been thinking about taking my life. She said, I prayed and said, God, if you love me, if you still care, if you're listening, send Kevin over to pray for me. I wish I could say that I've taken every opportunity, but I've missed some. But that one I didn't. And I thought, God, help me to be sensitive to the sound of your voice. Amen. We ought to be listening. You never know. There have been different ones of you have come to me and said things, or you've come to give me encouragement, or you've texted me, or different things, and you'll never know that you are being so sensitive to the sound of the shepherd's voice. Amen. We've got to be sensitive. Next, we need to be obedient. Kind of goes hand in hand, doesn't it? He said, my sheep follow me. They hear me. They know my voice. They do what I say. Amen. He describes those that are confused like sheep without a shepherd. Amen. And we've all been there. Amen. If you're experiencing disobedience and you're not heeding the voice of God, I'd question whether you were a sheep. Amen. We know we can quote it, to obey is what? Better than sacrifice. You know, I've done it. Lord, I know you told me to do this, but I'll tell you what. Let's make a deal. That didn't work. He wants our obedience. I'm almost done. They are confident from the moment we receive Christ, we are partaker of eternal life, and we can have assurance of our salvation. Amen. We can know where we're going to go when we die. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We can have that sweet assurance to know, amen, that when I leave here, it's not over. You know, I've witnessed the different ones of people come knock on your door, you know, the JWs, and different people come and try to talk with me, and I try to talk with them, you know, and talk about what's going to happen after all this is over. And you know what? They don't have much hope. But amen, we've got hope in a land that's better. Amen, we've got hope where the soul lives on. Hallelujah. If we're sensitive and obedient to the shepherd's voice, we can be confident, amen, that this is not it. Amen, we can be secure. Nothing can pluck us from his hand. One writer said, I'm not even really sure if this is a word. Some of you English majors maybe can help me, but it says we're unpluckable. Sounds good anyway. Unpluckable. The only way that we can leave the fold is if we voluntarily leave it on our own. Amen. No enemy is big enough. I want to read this to you. Psalms 23, you know it. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I wish I could paint you a picture of the shepherd tonight. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The only way that's going to happen, and the only way we can claim that promise, amen, is to follow the good shepherd. Amen. He's the great shepherd tonight, Sister Whitney Cum. I'm about to close. There have been times in my life I felt just that way. I felt like a sheep with no shepherd. And you know, there's some people that thrive on that. I don't. I remember just as I'm trying to still be a young preacher, but when I was even a younger preacher, I was preaching at this little church, and they probably had about 7 people. And it's about an hour away from where I lived. I'd go there and preach on Sunday morning and stay all day and preach there Sunday night, and then they had church at 5, so I could rush back to my church and be at my church for the end of the service, and I enjoyed it, and the Lord was blessing us just certainly not because of my preaching, but just because they had a preacher there, the crowd kind of got up to maybe about 30 people. And so they said, now Brother Kevin's going to come preach. It was one Sunday night service, and I was sitting on the front row, and I stood up. He said, and we just enjoyed Brother Kevin coming so much that we think we're going to make him our pastor. Come on, Brother Kevin, come preach. And my eyes got very big, and I must have looked very afraid. And he said, well, we can just keep it like it is. That'll be fine, too. And I talked to them later. If the Lord would have dealt with my heart in that regard, of course I would have done it, but he did not, and I would not. But he told me, and this is what's so telling, he said, we don't really need a pastor. We just need somebody to come preach. Well, that's not how it works. And there are people that, you know, they want all of the benefits of a child of God, but they don't want to listen to the shepherd's voice. It's not that it's something that I've done or that I've made up the scripture, or that it's Brother Gabbard's rules or principles that we live by. It's the word of God given to us. Amen. And Jesus is that shepherd. Let's all stand. She begins to play. I just want this just to be a time of self-examination and self-reflection. Are you listening for the sound of the shepherd's voice? Can you recognize when he's speaking? I remember facing a dark time, and I felt like I had just somehow gotten off track. And I felt like I didn't even know how it happened. Like, one moment everything was good, and the next, I felt I just went over the side of that cliff, and now I needed the shepherd to come and pull me back up and break my legs if he had to, or whatever he needed to do to pull this pitiful little sheep back to the fold. And I went to this church, and I was able to get in. I went into the sanctuary, and I just began to talk to God and said, Lord, somewhere I just quit hearing your voice. I don't know how. I'm not sure when, but if you could just speak to me again, if you could just make one sound to let me know that you're going to somehow fix all of this. And the Lord gave me the words to a song, and I began to write it down. And I don't even remember all the words, but I just remember the first part says, how do you get back on track when you've taken the wrong road? How do you bear the burden and not be crushed beneath the load? I'm just looking for a stop sign or somewhere I can turn around. But I still know a place where I can find the answers and where peace can be found if I can just reach Jesus. Friend, tonight, if it's been a little bit since you've heard the sound of the shepherd's voice, I just want to encourage you. You can come back to the fold. He's still the same good, sweet shepherd that he's always been. He might have to break you. But I found out in those times where I was the most broken, that's when he picked me up and he carried me. See, the Lord chastens those that he loves. So that could be involved, chastening. But whatever it is, know that Jesus is the living door. Amen. He's the shepherd. shepherd. I wonder if there's just one where every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I know it's a Sunday night service and this is probably different than how things normally go, but I just want to give, if there's anybody, an opportunity, give someone an opportunity to say, I'm desperate to hear the sound of the shepherd. I want to hear his voice. It's been a little bit. Man, I miss those green pastures and the still waters. Those places in the quiet stream where I felt his presence. Those places where he's prepared a table. The scripture says, in the presence of mine enemies. I miss being with the shepherd. Just when I'm not going to tarry long. I'm not trying to drag anything out. Is there anybody? You feel the Lord dealing with your heart? All right, let's all come and let's find us a place to pray. Spend some time in prayer.
Face another day. shepherd. Strength today.